The morning after the wild gale off West Island, we were at last able to visit with Brother James Hall and his family. And I was reunited with my fiancé, James White.
Brother Hall, there's no doubt about it. We experienced a miracle last night.
I remember another incident that happened to you, Brother Gurney, that could be called a miracle. And it took place right here.
Oh, please, tell us about it, Brother Gurney.
Well, Sarah, I was visiting Brother Hall here when a thick fog settled down on Buzzard's Bay. Mr. Sherman had told me I could borrow his boat any time I needed it, so I took it.
Even in a fog?
I had no fear of getting lost. I know the route as well as I know my own backyard. I pushed off, and when I judged I was about 3 miles out.
Hurry up your helm! Come to it!
Lord, oh, help me! There's a large vessel bearing down on me!
Bear away! You're crossing our bow too close!
Your jib boom has ripped away my mast and rigging! I'm being swamped!
Grab onto the flying jib sheets and climb aboard! We'll take your yawl in tow!
I'm sorry, Mr. Gurney. I saw you running lights too late. This two-masted longshore schooner just ain't that easy to turn course.
Not your fault, Captain. But I'm glad you're making for New Bedford.
Captain! The rope's busted loose! The yawl's drifting off!
Well, there goes your boat, Mr. Gurney. I'm afraid it's lost forever.
You're right. And with the way the tide's running, it'll be dashed to pieces on Dartmouth Point. And if the boat were mine, I wouldn't mind so much. As soon as we reached port, I rushed home to get another hat. I'd lost mine while climbing aboard the schooner. I walked 5 miles to a point opposite West Island and hired a man to row me over.
Why, Mr. Gurney, I thought you left for Fairhaven hours ago.
I did, Sherman. But I had an accident in the fog. I ran into an inbound schooner, and I feared I'd lost your yawl. But I was relieved to see you found your boat all right.
Why, what do you mean?
Well, when I looked down at the landing just now, there it was, sitting in its own slip right where it should be. I'm glad you have it safe.
What in the world are you talking about, Mr. Gurney? I don't know anything about the boat. I haven't seen it since you left.
Then, if you didn't find the boat and run it into the dock, who did?
Well, I sure don't know. I guess you'd have to call it a miracle.
So, that's what happened, Sister Ellen.
Sounds like a miracle indeed.
West Island is nearly surrounded by a dangerous reef about a half mile out. At high tide, most of it's invisible, with only one narrow channel through which boats can pass safely.
It could hardly be an accident, then, that Mr. Sherman's boat passed through without smashing.
That's right, Brother James. I must think that God's hand guided Sherman's yawl safely back home.
Soon after this, Sarah and I returned to Portland, having become convinced that it was right to marry James White. I saw no reason to delay the wedding.
Ellen, we have a letter from Brother Philip Collins in New Bedford.
Does he say anything about James? New Bedford's not too far from Falmouth, where James went to conduct a funeral.
Oh, yes. He says James wrote him a letter and sounded excited.
Excited about what?
About your marriage. Oh, in fact, he's enclosed the letter James wrote him. You'd better read it, Ellen.
I have a chance to get to Fairhaven tonight by sailboat, and shall take the cars tomorrow morning for Boston, and the express train to Portland.
An express? James White. He must be excited.
Oh, Sarah, please. I shall be in Portland by 6 o'clock. Sister Ellen says that the way is made plain. We've been published and shall be married perhaps on Monday.
I didn't know that the wedding would be so soon, Ellen. Oh, well, there's so much to do, so much to get ready.
There's nothing to get ready, Sarah. James published the banns before he left for Falmouth, and we'll get married when he comes back. That's all there is to it.
Why, there's the church to decide on, the minister, guests, flowers.
Hold up, Sarah. You forget we no longer have a formal church.
Well, still.
And flowers cost money that could be used for other things that are more important right now. You and the family are more than welcome to attend.
On Sunday, August 30th, 1846, James White and I stood before Justice of the Peace Charles Harding of Portland and were married.
And do you, James Springer White, take Ellen Gould Harmon as your lawfully wedded wife to honor and cherish unto death do you part?
I do.
By the power vested in me by the city of Portland and the state of Maine, I hereby pronounce you husband and wife.
James and I began our married life on the proverbial shoestring. We had no money for a house or furniture, so my parents invited us to live with them in Gorham.
Ellen, we're practically penniless. All of my own family are so against my belief in the Advent movement that they're no help. Especially my brother John and his wife.
God will show us what to do, James.
We have no charts or literature of any kind to support our views. Your health isn't good. My stomach is so dyspeptic I can hardly digest my food. What a fine pair we are to go out and labor for the Lord.
For the time being, we shall hold meetings within walking distance. God will provide a way for us to go farther afield later.
Well, we'll see. In the meantime, there'll be an important conference in Topsom come November. We should be there.
Well, my dear husband, I don't expect you to walk that far. It's almost 40 miles to Topsom. I'm sure my father will let us borrow his mare and buckboard.
In November 1846, we made our way to Topsom, Maine. The conference was in the home of Brother Curtis. Joseph Bates had come up from Fairhaven to attend.
Well, well, well. Mr. and Mrs. James White. Oh, congratulations to the both of you.
Thank you, Brother Bates. There are some among the believers who are uncomfortable with our marriage, so we do appreciate your approval.
Well, you have yourself discouraged matrimony for Advent believers because it seemed to you a denial of faith in Christ's soon coming.
Well, Ellen was given some light on that. She was shown that the biding time may be longer than we had supposed.
Ah, yes, Sister Ellen's visions again, huh? Well, no matter what I think about that subject, you both are doing remarkable work for God.
And so are you, Brother Bates. James and I have read your pamphlet explaining the Sabbath doctrine. We looked up every text.
And?
You'll be happy to know that both James and I now keep the seventh day as Sabbath.
Oh, glory to God! And your parents, will they keep the seventh day holy?
They're sincere Christians. They're studying your pamphlet even now, and I'm sure they'll see the light.
I'm sure. But, Sister Ellen... Sister Ellen, are you all right?
Sister White isn't breathing. Is she dying?
Her eyes are wide open, but she's staring at nothing.
Please, be calm, everyone. Ellen is going into vision. God is with my wife right now.
A void. Velvet black with pinpoints of light in the vastness. I am swept, drawn into it. There's a glow, huge and clouded, with a great rose-colored ring circling it. How lovely! I see 7 moons.
Why, she's describing Saturn.
I'm traveling at unimaginable speed. The stars are like long streaks of fire in the blackness. Another glow, bigger than the first. There's an enormous red spot and 4 moons.
Now I know the night sky like I know the back of my hand. She's seeing Jupiter.
I'm turning in a great sweep. The stars are like millions of colored diamonds as the heavens open up before me. Oh, what glory! But now it's gone. There's a reddish planet with a pattern of lines like canals.
That's Mars.
The sun is an immense ball that fills the void with fire. Oh! I see a tiny burned planet. And beyond that, a planet covered with clouds.
That would be Mercury and Venus. Oh, I wish Lord John Ross were here tonight.
Who's Lord John Ross?
He's a great English astronomer. I wish he could hear this woman talk astronomy. It's far ahead of anything I've ever read on the subject.
Wow. There's a beautiful globe of sparkling blue waters and green forests.
Why, she's seeing the Earth from out in space.
Right. Puffy clouds float over the planet. I'm being drawn down, down through the clouds, down, down.
Look, she's starting to breathe again.
She seems to be coming out of the vision.
Oh, I've seen other worlds.
Sister Ellen, while you were at school, did you ever study astronomy?
No. I have no recollection of ever having opened a book on astronomy or even having seen one.
Hmm.
It's a subject of which I'm completely ignorant.
Oh, glory! This is of the Lord.
Have I seen the planets then, Brother Bates?
You have indeed. From your description, I recognize them all. Now I know your visions are from God, Sister Ellen. I'll never doubt them again.